You may be seated. You know, there's no one like a mother. And, you know, my mother was especially blessed on Mother's Day in the year 1945. Well, at least I thought so. Because I was born. Now, I understand they were expecting a boy, but they got me instead. But I was born on Mother's Day, and, you know, my mother's gone on to be with the Lord, but I am so thankful for her and for the example and the things that she taught me. You know, usually, a lot of times on Mother's Day, we read Proverbs 31 about a virtuous wife. And so as I was reading that, as I was preparing for this sermon, oh, and I want to say for those of you that are watching, happy Mother's Day as well. We honor you as well. But as I was reading that, I thought, you know what? We need a little bit modern version of Proverbs 31. And so I found a modern version. I don't think you'll find it on any of the translations that you have on your iPhone or on your smartphone. But I want to read this one to you, okay? A woman who truly seeks after God is rare in today's world. If she were paid for all she does, her annual salary would average around $150,000. Because he married a smart woman, her husband trusts her completely to run the household. She wants to honor her husband even though her flesh yearns to control and demand her own ways. She refrains from husband bashing when she's with her girlfriends. She purchases things for her home wisely and creates a warm atmosphere for her family. She drives to Costco to stock up on Goldfish crackers and chicken nuggets. And she sometimes orders online to save money, time, and above all, her sanity. She gets up in the middle of the night to care for a sick toddler who just puked all over the bed. When her alarm clock goes off, she fixes Pop-Tarts to go for her older kids who are about to miss the school bus because she was up all night. Servant girls, those would be her children who are assigned daily chores. She finds a few bargains at Goodwill and sells them on eBay to make a profit. She strategically puts in a movie for her kids while she cleans the toilet, does a load of laundry, and unloads the dishwasher. If there's time left over, she'll quietly slip away to go to the bathroom for a few minutes of peace for herself. She earns extra income from holding a yard sale. She sleeps at peace, well, for the most part, yet is ready to bound out of bed at a moment's notice when she hears her little ones crying out for her. If she has sewing abilities, and that is a rare blessing, but if she's like most, she frantically sews a button on her son's only clean pair of pants 15 minutes before he heads out the door for school. Anything requiring more work than this is dropped off at a dry cleaner's or seamstress shop. She picks up a few extra items at Reese's for her neighbor whose husband just lost his job. Her friend recovering from surgery needs someone to watch her kids for an afternoon, so she gladly accepts with a compassionate heart. When she wakes up to the first snow on the ground, she pulls out the coats, gloves, boots, and hats that she got on sale at Walmart. She also combs through clearance racks to purchase spring and summer clothing for next year. She shops at Bed Bath & Beyond to find a deal and 20% coupon on a new comforter. She shops for clothes at consignment stores, trying to stay within her family's right budget. Her husband walks into work feeling loved because he had a date with his wife last night. He brags on his wife to his buddies during his lunch meeting. She gets an idea on Pinterest for a unique scarf and creates a website selling them to her friends. She may physically be exhausted, but her inner strength comes from God. She can laugh at the days to come and often laughs at herself because her confidence and hope come from the Lord. After many moments of humility, she graciously gains wisdom. Her time in prayer and God's word overflows from her heart when she instructs her children. She makes sure the diapers don't run out, keeps groceries stocked in the fridge, attempts to keep the never-ending laundry caught up and oversees homework when she'd rather collapse on the couch and take a much-deserved nap. When her kids get up, they plead, "Mommy, play with us." Her husband quickly kisses her while rushing out the door whispering, "Babe, you rock." Many women hold master's degrees and will walk into Fortune 500 companies sporting their high heels and business suits. But you are just as important sporting your PJs with spit up, smeared on the front, rocking your little ones, and reading them a story. Our youthful skin gradually turns to wrinkles. The number on the scales inches up while metabolism slows down. So she doesn't obsess on her outward appearance, but focuses instead on finding her soul, where true beauty is found in God's eyes. Her hard work will pay off in the end, because she has loved deeply through thick and thin. No matter what others say, God knows and sees everything she does and loves her relentlessly. Do you like that version, ladies? Does it kind of describe our life? Well, you know, when you think of a mother, Mother's Day, of course, is traditionally the day when children give back something, you know, to their mothers. Something for, you know, for all the spit that they produce to wash dirty faces. You ever done that? You know? I remember one time we were busy getting ready for church, and it was when the kids were young. And I got to church, and I looked over at Craig, and he had his shirt wrong side out. And I'm thinking, how am I going to fix this in the middle of service? But, you know, a mother always knows how. When everybody's bowing and praying, that's when changes come about. Mother's Day is a time to give something back for all the old gum that they held in their hands, for all the noses that they wiped, for all the bloody knees that they made all well with a mom's kiss. You know, this is the day that mothers are rewarded for washing sheets in the middle of the night when a child has had an accident, driving kids to school when they miss the bus, and most of all, enduring all the baseball games, the soccer games, the football games, in spite of the rain and cold and all of those things that come. But they're watching their child, you know, make that touchdown or make that home run and cheering them on. It's a day of appreciation for making your children finish something that they thought they couldn't. You know, how many times have the kids said, I can't do that? And what has a mother said? You can. You can. If you'll just apply yourself, you can do it. You know, it's a day of appreciation for the times when your children were upset at you and said, I'm mad at you. Ever heard that? You know, it's a day of appreciation when you've been there in their good times. You've been there in their bad times. And so we look at, what are mothers? You know, a mother is not really a person. A mother is a miracle. She creates the miraculous. You know, she can turn into anything that she needs to at a split second. You know, she's like Superwoman. She goes into her bathroom and turns into whatever she needs to turn into. Like Superman used to do in the telephone booth. And most of the kids don't even know anything about that. But anyway, you know, she can turn into a nurse. Just though she has no professional training, she knows exactly what to do. Whether it's a fever, whether it's a cut, whether it's a broken tooth, she knows how to fix it. And I'll tell you what, you know, when that child gets a boo-boo, the only thing they need is a kiss from their mother, and it becomes all well. You know, but there's no other kiss like the kiss of a mother. The kiss of dad can't heal that boo-boo. The kiss of anybody else can't heal that boo-boo. But mama knows exactly the right kind of kiss to heal that boo-boo. You know, she can be a cook, a maid, a taxi cab driver, and a referee all in the space of a few minutes. She is the ultimate multitasker. Oh, but listen, if the father tries to multitask, they are single-minded. I guess God made them that way. But I mean, you know, even sometimes pastor, he decides he's going to cook the meal. And it's not that he doesn't do a good job when he does it, but he's single-minded. He's just got to do one thing at a time. I'm telling you what, mothers have to multitask all of the time. You know, she's the timekeeper. She knows, you know, when the bus runs. She knows when the music lessons are. She knows when the ball practices are. She knows everything. She keeps everybody on time. If time is attached to it, you know, mom knows the time. And where is that time? Right here in her head. Right here in her head. She knows it. But of course, you know, she always has a backup. She has it on her smartphone as well. And you know, what would the family do without the mom keeping the calendar? How many of you remember there was a calendar on the refrigerator? Oh, and if that calendar was lost, you wouldn't know what to do. I know one time I had lost my daytime. That was before smartphones. I had lost my day timer. And I thought, I don't know what to do. I got to have my calendar. But we always are the timekeeper. And you know, a mom, she can turn into a shrewd merchant at a garage sale. No one knows how to bargain like moms do. I remember years ago when the Cabbage Patch dolls were, you know, everybody, the little girls wanted a Cabbage Patch doll. Well, I had gotten Denise a Cabbage Patch doll, not knowing that they were going to be popular in December, but her birthday was in August. I just happened to be cool and didn't know it in August and bought her a Cabbage Patch doll. But, they were plentiful, but guess what? All of a sudden, they became and famous, and it was the hot item for Christmas. And, you know, she wanted more Cabbage Patch dolls. She wanted a boy and she wanted a girl. Well, you know, I didn't think anything about it. I thought, I'll just go to the store and find the boy and girl. Guess what? There were no Cabbage Patch dolls at all here in Tulsa. I looked everywhere. That was before online that you could, you know, there wasn't an internet at that time. But you know what? As a mom, I was not going to disappoint my child. I decided Dallas has everything. So I drove to Dallas specifically to find Cabbage Patch dolls. I looked and looked and looked, and they were nowhere to be found. And all of a sudden, my mom and I were driving, and we went up to this one store, and we saw this line. It was before the store opened. Well, as a mom, guess what? You start asking questions. I went up there and I said, what are y'all standing in line? You know, a mom is bold when she is trying to fulfill a request of her children. And I said, what are y'all standing in line for? The store's not open. They said, well, there's a shipment of Cabbage Patch dolls coming. Woo! My time is here. My mission is going to be complete. I go and I stand in line. And so, you know, the door opens. And when the door opens, oh my goodness. All of those mothers were after the same thing that I was after. There was this big box. I will never forget it. This big box. And they were all just pushing in. I just kind of think of the woman with the issue of blood pushing in, you know. And I'm telling you what, there was blood there. So I pushed in. I was one of the last ones that were there. I just went in and I grabbed two dolls. Woo! I got two dolls. And then I looked at them. I had two girls. I didn't have a boy and a girl. But listen, this would not stop a mom's mission. I go up to the register, and here all these people are at the register. And I looked, and this one lady in front of me, she had five dolls. And so, you know, I'm usually not the bold one that goes up and talks to strangers like Pastor is. But listen, I'm on a mission. And so I say to her, oh, you must have children that you're getting these dolls for Christmas. And she said, no, I don't have any kids. I'm just a collector. And I thought, okay, listen here. This is ridiculous. You're not even fulfilling a child's desire. So I said, you know what? I have a little girl, and she's going to be disappointed if she doesn't get a boy and a girl. I have two girls here. I think she had three boys and two girls. I said, would you trade one of my girls for one of your boys? And she looked at it, and I'm thinking, I'm praying, you know. I'm praying God change her mind or help her to, you know. And so she said, well, let me see your dolls. So I think I had a redheaded one, which she didn't have. And she said, okay, I'll trade. Praise God, my mission was completed. My child was happy. And so she is a great negotiator. A mom will go to any lengths to get the best deal for her money, though it may have cost her much more in gas, you know, to get it. But she'll get it. She is a mender. She mends clothes. She mends socks. She mends broken toys. She, you know, mends furniture, clocks, curtains, and sometimes even broken bicycle chains. But, you know, the most important thing that she mends is broken hearts. Broken hearts. You know, she brushes away the tears from that child. She takes them in her arms and she says, tomorrow's going to be a better day and everything's going to be all right. And you know what? That child believes that mom and knows that everything will be all right. You know, a mom, she experiences all the emotions that a child goes through. You know, their sorrows, their happiness. Why does she experience those? And when they're sick, she experiences that. Why? Because that child was a part of her own. That child was a part of her own. You know, she puts crushed feelings back together and glues them tight with a drop of super love. There's no love like a mother's love. You know, she, in her own way, is a minister of mending. She mends so many things because guess what? As moms, we want to fix everything, right? We want to fix everything. And you know, sometimes the dads are saying, honey, it can't be fixed. But what do? We're going to fix it. We're going to fix it. And they just shake their heads and let us do what we do. We fix things. We mend things. We mend things with words of kindness. I know that I used to, when the kids would take lunches to school, I would put a little note in their lunch bag when they got it that would say, I love you very much. Or that would say, you can make it. Or you'll do good on that test. Know that I love you and God loves you. And so we mend with words of love, acts of love. We mend with healing balm of compassion. You know, we know when to let go and we know when to hold on. It's just within a mother's knowledge. Mother is a teacher. Oh my goodness. She was our first teacher. She taught us about life. She taught us about pointing you in the right direction, making you to have the ability to succeed in life. She taught you to how to cook, how to dust, how to clean house, how to do laundry. I remember one time I was teaching Denise how to cook. And this is a good lesson to learn. Denise is a lot like her dad. You don't have to wonder what she's thinking. She will tell you. And so I was teaching her how to cook. And so one night, I was at work. I came home, and she's making a salad. And I've always been famous for my salads, and the key ingredients in my salads was that I chop everything really fine, really thin, and I put crushed Fritos in it. Now I'm telling you my secrets. And everybody's always bragged on my salads. Man, what do you do to make this salad taste so good? So, you know, I was kind of proud of my salads. And I thought that, you know, that's the way everybody was supposed to make salads. So I came home and I looked at her salad, and it's like she wasn't making her salad like I made my salad. And so I said to her, "Denise, that's not the way you make a salad." And she looked at me with all due respect, and she says, "Mom, that's maybe the way that you like to make your salad, but it's not the way I want to make my salad." And I learned a really good lesson there. You know, as long as things are okay, if they do it in a different way, hey, it's okay. Let them be who they are. So I've never tried to teach her how I do things, but I want to tell you what, she has become a very good cook. Why? Because I did train her how to cook. You know, mom's taught you how to shop for bargains, for groceries. She taught you manners. Don't talk with your mouth full. Get your elbows off the table. She taught you that it was more blessed to give than it was to receive. You know, we taught our children to give, I would see them give so many times, would give of their allowance, would give sometimes of birthday money that they had gotten to others. And it blessed me to know that I had gotten that through to the children. She taught us about life, love, kindness, and believing in dreams. It was your mother that told you, you know, you can be whatever God wants you to be. She was the one that molded our character, who instilled principles in us, which made it possible for us to succeed in life. She also, as a Christian mother, taught us how to love God, and that God was our source. And I'm so thankful for that, as my parents and my mom taught me, hey, honey, whatever you need, God is your source. If you're hurting, you can go to him and he will comfort you. There is no one like a mom. Moms are protectors. You know, sometimes the kids want to call it, well, mom, quit worrying so much. You know, but it's not really about worrying. We are a protector of our children. It's kind of like, you know, the scripture where it says, you know, the hen, mother hen, gathers under her feathers. And I wasn't raised on a farm, and I didn't understand that. I didn't understand the protective characteristics of a hen until one day we had ducks, and there were some little ducks, and the geese were eating these ducks. And so they took a mother duck, and they put her in a pen with all the little ducks. And so one day, Pastor said, "Do you want to go see the little baby ducks?" Well, you know, we always like babies, baby dog, puppies, you know, ducks, whatever, babies. And I said, "Yeah." And so we went down to see where they were, and there was, you know, they had them fenced in. And so when I looked through the car, they were just, you know, they were just playing everywhere. And all of a sudden, I got out of the car. I wanted to see those little ducks closer. And when I got out of the car and started toward where the little ducks was, that mother, I mean, she began flapping her wings. She gathered all of those little baby ducks underneath her wings. And I'll tell you what, by the time I got there, I couldn't see one of them. That's the way a mother is. She is a protector. She gathers her children under her wings. You know, and when they become teenagers, oh my, at this time, mother is full of questions. And, you know, she'll say, "When are you going to leave? When are you coming home? Where are you going? Where have you been? Who have you been with? Where do they live? What are their parents like? What are you going to do when you get there? Who else is going to be there? How are you going to get there? And when are you coming home?" You know, mothers want to know, okay, what have you eaten? Have you eaten too much? Have you gotten too much sugar? Have you taken your vitamins? Have you gotten your homework? She is a protector. Mothers are full of questions. And she will never be able to go to sleep until those teenagers are home and in bed. And there she knows that they're safe within her care. You know, mothers, as I said, are full of questions. They want to know, as a teenager, have you put on your deodorant? Have you brushed your teeth? Have you taken your shower? Have you washed your hair? Are your ears clean? Do you ever, any of you ever hear that? You know, my youngest grandson, Wesley, he used to sometimes not wash his hair when he took a shower, and I would smell of his hair when he would be over my house. Wesley, you did not wash your hair. Go wash your hair. And you know, mothers know when a child is not feeling good. They even know, you know, they're a thermometer. They know that you have a temperature even when, before they take your temperature. I used to go, in fact, still now, my kids will come up to me, Mom, fill me and see if I've got a temperature. A mom just knows. And I'd say, yes, you do. Go take it, see what it is. And it always would be. Moms are an encourager. A mother's love makes you feel like you can do anything. You can accomplish anything, but reminds you that you are loved without having to do anything at all. That you are still loved. She believes in you when everybody else has given up on you. She keeps cheering you on and cheering you on because she knows that you can do it. You know, her smile of approval is worth 1,000 words. I mean, there's no smile like the smile of a mother. She is the first one to smile when you did well, and she is the first one to comfort you when you didn't. And even if you didn't do well, she'll say, you did good. You did good. She is an encourager. You know, a mom has just a special way of bringing out the best in you. She's going to make you be the best that you can. She is a developer of personalities. Get that frown off your face. She is a molder of vocabularies. We don't say that word. In fact, one time one of our grandsons reprimanded my husband, his poppy. He happened to say the word stupid. Somebody was stupid, you know. And the grandson said, we don't say that word. My mommy taught me we don't say that word. So she is a molder of vocabularies. She is a shaper of attitudes. You go tell your sister you're sorry. You know? She shapes the attitudes of the children. But mothers are also soft voices. There's nothing like the soft voice of a mother whispering in your ear, I love you. I love you. And you know, children find God's love first through their mother's love because she is the epitome of God's love. You know, by the time a child reaches 18, a mother has had to handle some extra 18,000 hours of child-generated work. 18,000 hours of child-generated work. Guess what, ladies? When your kids get grown, that accumulates to 3 months off. 3 months each year of extra time. But of course, now your husband might take it up. But anyway, just look forward to those 3 months when those children are grown, or your grandchildren may take it up. You know, mothers come in different shapes, sizes, various ages and stages of life. They have different hair colors, different eye colors, different personalities, but each one is unique, special, and handmade. Without mothers, there would not be a family. And I will guarantee you one thing. If God had decided it was the men that were going to produce the children, our world would not be very populated. Oh my. Don't think they have the patience or the pain tolerance that a mother has. But the one common denominator that mothers have is their everlasting love for their children. Their everlasting love. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. We can't even describe it ourselves, but it's endless and unselfish, enduring anything that we have to do to make sure that our child is okay. Nothing can destroy it or that take that love away. You know, we love our children so much that we're patient. We're forgiving. That never fails or falters. Even as our kids are grown and have children of their own, we're still a forgiving mother. And we are still a mother that loves and still unselfish for our children. You know, my children call me now. I drop everything. Okay, what do you need? And I'm right there for them. A mother's love is pure, true, and lasting. She gives us our first breath, and we love her forever. You know, regardless of how many children a mother has, she loves them all the best. Some kids will say, "Mom, do you love, you know, the sibling more than you do me?" "Oh, no, I love you the best." And then the next one comes, "Do you love?" "No, I love you the best." You know, God has given us such a love for our children that we can love them all the best. George Washington said, "My mother was the most beautiful woman I ever saw. All I am, I owe to my mother. I attribute all my success in life to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her." You know, you probably remember the story of Thomas Edison. You know, in the days that Thomas Edison grew up, the education system didn't know about dyslexia. From what we understand, Thomas Edison probably experienced dyslexia in his learning styles. And so the teachers sent him home and said, "This child is too dumb to learn. We cannot teach him anything." Well, I'll tell you what. His mom says, "My child is not dumb, and I will teach my child." And so she did, and we know the rest of the story that we have lights here because of Thomas Edison. We have sound because of Thomas Edison. We have video because of Thomas Edison. And in all, just in the United States, he had 1,093 patents, as well as many patents in Europe. Thomas was not a dumb child. But he needed someone, and that was his mother, that believed in him and taught him. You know, Mother's Day can be very difficult for some. There may be some here that you've wanted a child, and for some reason that hasn't happened. Well, let me tell you, you can be an influence to children in spite of the fact that you may not have any of your own. I stand here today a lot because of my precious aunt. My precious aunt, who never had any children of her own, but loved children so much that she devoted her entire life to teaching children about the things of God. And I learned from her to love God with all my heart. I learned from her the importance of reading the Bible and practicing the Word of God. And I learned from her the power of prayer. in my prayer life. Somebody asked me the other day as we were in Crusades, you know, have you always prayed? How, you know, have you always been as fervent about praying? I said, and they said, how come? And I said, it was because of my aunt. And so though you may not have children of your own, I'll tell you what, you can be an influence on others' children. I think of the fact of when I've worked in the nursery, when some of the kids now, in fact, one of them is graduating from college this week. But when she was in kindergarten, I had an influence on her. And I'm so proud of her because she's graduating. And so you can have an influence on children. You know, some of you may not have had the best mother in the world. And so some of the things that I've said may not even apply to you. But I'm going to tell you what, she birthed you. It was because of her that you are here. And so you can be grateful for that. You know, some of your mothers, they've passed on just as my mother has. And I just encourage you to think about the good memories that you had with her. I know sometimes there are times that I want to call my mother and can't. But you can think back at the good memories that you had with her. You know, some of you may feel the pain of a wayward child. Maybe you taught your child and yet they're out and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you that as my father-in-law told someone that was happening to them, he said, just surround that child with faith and love. Surround that child with faith and love and believe that child will return. Well, guess what? That child, as he was surrounded with faith and love, did return and is now a missionary and proclaims the gospel all over the world. So surround your children with faith and love. Some of you are single moms and you think, you know, how can I adequately teach my children all that they need to be taught? And especially, you know, about the things of God. Well, I want to tell you what. You can make a significant spiritual impact on your children, even if there's not a father figure in the home. You can make a spiritual impact. And so, you know, I think of Timothy's mom and his grandmother, Lois and Eunice. Now, the Bible doesn't really say anything about the grandfather. We do know that the father of Timothy, he wasn't a believer. But guess what? I mean, look at the impact that Timothy had in his world. What an impact he had. But do you know where that foundation came from? From his mother and his grandmother. Over in 2 Timothy 1:5 in the New Living Translation, in writing to Timothy, Paul admonished him. He said, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. And then Paul continued to admonish Timothy, and he said in 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, but you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you. You've been taught the Holy Scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus. So no, you know, whether there is a father in the home or there's not a father in the home, you as a mother probably has the greatest influence on your children, both in the natural and spiritual. And so I want to close with these keys, three keys that will help you make a significant spiritual impact on your children. Number one, instill a respect for Scripture. Instill a respect for Scripture. You know, I am quite sure that Eunice and Lois, told Timothy, read Timothy or told them the Bible stories of David, Samson, Goliath, and all of these. Because, you know, over in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, one of the commandments in the Old Testament was, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. I am sure that Eunice and Lois talked to Timothy every day. I am sure that their home was filled with teaching him right from wrong, with teaching him just as I was taught, just as we taught our children to love the Lord God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, just as my parents taught me, and we taught our children to honor the first promise in the Bible, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth. We read Bible stories to our children. We had devotions for our children when they were first young. We had faith food. And we would read the faith food, and you know, and we would instill one of the chapters that we so instilled in our children was Psalm 91. I'm tell you what, in Oklahoma, you need Psalm 91. No harm shall come nigh thy dwelling. No plague shall come near you. We claim and we taught them the scripture of Psalm 91, that their angels were always there to protect them, to keep them in all of their ways. And you know what? As we taught that, that became a reality in their life. I know one time we were sitting at the table, and honestly, I think Craig was about in the sixth grade, something like that. We were sitting at the dinner table, and all of a sudden he heard, before we heard, the sound of a freight train. And we know what that sound is. It's a tornado. This tornado went over our house and landed at 71st and Memorial. And as he heard that sound, I mean, out of his mouth came, "We got to claim the 91st Psalm." We taught them the scriptures. There was a little girl that was always trying to scare Denise of monsters, a little friend of hers. And I heard Denise say one day, "Michelle, we don't have to be afraid of monsters because the 91st Psalm says that no monsters shall come near you." She put her own interpretation to it. And so you instill a respect for scripture. And mothers, let me tell you, it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. And it's never too late. Start teaching them now. Four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty and eloquent Old English. Another said he liked the New England American Standard Version. The third scholar was sold on the New Living Translation for its use of contemporary phrases. After being quiet for a moment, the fourth scholar admitted, "I have personally preferred my mother's translation." Well, you know, all scholars started laughing. He said, "Your mother translated the scriptures?" And this is what he replied: "My mom translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I have ever read." I want to ask you the question: what kind of Bible is your children learning through you by observing your life? Are you looking for ways to instill respect for the word of God into the lives of the children? Number two, instill in them faith in God. Instill in them faith in God. 2 Timothy 1:5 again says, "I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you." You know, we need to instill that faith in our children. Our children learn by how we demonstrate our faith. But the time comes that they have to take their own faith and use their own faith. You know, we would teach our children, we'd say, "You know, you have favor with man just as well as you do with God." And I remember when Craig had a very difficult teacher, and I said, "Craig, you just start confessing. You have favor with that man just as you have favor with God." And he began to exercise his own faith in God. And guess what? The attitudes of that teacher changed. You know, we taught them to believe for the things that they wanted. There were things that they wanted, and we said, you believe for them. We taught them to tithe. We said, you know, as you give of your tithe and your offerings to God, he'll return that. And they saw that become a reality in their life. You know, God has no grandchildren. He only has children. Faith is not inherited. We all have to learn to walk by faith. But as I said, when children are brought up in that atmosphere, guess what? It's very easy for them, as they've seen that demonstrated in their home, it's very easy for them to have faith in God. We taught them to be a witness. I remember this same little Michelle, one day I heard she and Denise talking, and all of a sudden Denise said, Michelle, do you, now Denise is 5 years of age, okay? You're never too young to win somebody else to Christ. And so she said, Michelle, do you know Jesus as your Savior? And Michelle went, huh? Because she was four. And she said, Denise said, you know, have you asked Jesus in your heart? And Michelle said, no. And she said, do you want Jesus to come into your heart? Yes. And so I heard my five-year-old lead that little girl into a sinner's prayer. When she got through, Denise says, now, Michelle, don't you feel so much better? Doesn't your heart feel all clean? Well, she had been taught the scriptures and made them a reality in her life. Thirdly, instill a desire to fulfill God's will for their lives. Instill a desire to fulfill God's will for their lives. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. You know, just as God has plans for you, God has plans for your children. But guess what? They have to learn to recognize the voice of God. So instill in your kids, the most important thing, kids, that you can do is fulfill the plan that God has for your life. Susanna Wesley, mother of 17, two of which were John and Charles Wesley, spent 1 hour each day praying for her children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder her children were used of God to bring a blessing to England as well as to America. Let me ask you a thought-provoking question. How much time do you spend praying for your children and telling your children about God? Here were her guidelines. Subdue self-will in a child and thus work together with God to save his soul. Teach the child to pray as soon as he can speak. Give the child nothing he cries for and only what is good for him if he asks for it publicly. To prevent lying, and you know, I practiced this and didn't even know that this was one of her rules. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow a rebellious, sinful act to go unnoticed. If my kids told me the truth, I would forgive them and say, okay, don't do it anymore. But if they lied, that was another thing. Number five, commend and reward good behavior. And last, strictly observe all promises you have made to your child. Well, you know, that was good in the 1800s. That advice, I think it's good for us today. In closing, I want to read this poem to you entitled My Mother. Your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given to me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest. You view eternity. To do his will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You helped, held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. And so, let me once again say, mothers, you have powerful influence over your children. And to have the most powerful impact on their spiritual life, instill in them a respect for the scriptures, faith in their God, and walking in his will. Shall we pray? Oh, Father, we come to you now. We thank you for each mother that is represented here today. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for their example. We thank you for their dedication. We thank you for their sacrifice and for being the godly mother that they should be. You know, Father, I ask you now to continue to lead them, to continue to guide them, to continue to direct them, to give them wisdom in directing the daily affairs of their life. We thank you for supernatural strength to do what is necessary in their lives and in their schedules. May they have a deeper fervency to be the kind of mother that you so desire. And Father, at the end of their journey in this life, may it be said of each one of them that their children was raised up and called themselves blessed because of their mother. And we thank you for it now. With eyes still closed and heads still bowed, perhaps there are some of you here today. Perhaps you had a praying mother, and perhaps that mother has prayed for you because you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. The best Mother's Day gift that you can give your mother is to make him the Lord of your life right now. If that is you, I want you to stand up now. If you would like to accept Christ as your Savior. And maybe you're like some, you've known Christ, but you are a prodigal son. You've gone away and you've strayed away from the foundation that you had. I shall never forget one Mother's Day that happened to one of the kids here at Rhema Bible Church that had been raised here. This person was now living out of town and came back for Mother's Day. And that day, that prodigal son came home. If you are in that category, I want you to stand up now. Today is the day for you to come back home. Perhaps that you've gone to church, but you don't know that if you've ever confessed Christ as your Savior. In our church in Oklahoma City, there was a man that came down. He says, I've been in church all my life. He was a man in his early 70s, he said, I've been in church all my life, but I don't know if I've ever confessed Jesus as my Lord, so I want to do that today. If you're in that category, I want you to stand up right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you once knew him but have strayed from him, or if you don't know if you've ever accepted, you've gone to church, but you don't know if you've ever confessed him as the Lord of your life, I want you to stand right now. Anybody standing? I'm waiting. I'm waiting. Sing something, Patrick. And I want you to come down. If that's you, make that most important step in your life. Really come down and make him the Lord of your life. Or come back home to him. Come down right now.
Jesus Hallelujah. Is waiting.
Hallelujah. Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you.
Just as you
and we
are.
Ask you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Jesus is waiting.
Yes.
With open
Hallelujah.
So come, just as
you are. Oh, Father, if there be anyone here that needs to know you as their Savior, that needs to come back home to you, Father, I pray that they can't eat, think, sleep, or do anything until they return to you or accept you as their personal Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, this is Mother's Day. As we've said, we've been talking about Mother's Day, and I'll tell you what, this is a time, let's, and connection team, go and find the visitors. All of us stand up. And dads, kids, wait on your mother today. Don't let them do anything in the kitchen. Wait on them or take them out to eat. Don't ask them to do anything for you today. You do for her because she does for you all of the time. Connection team, take any visitors back to their respective places. Staff, you can go to the door. Is there anything else that I need? Staff, you can go to the door. Well, have a great Mother's Day afternoon. We'll see you tonight, 6 o'clock. God bless you.